are listening to an unpopular podcast.
Welcome to another sitting of the Thing Committee, Australia's definitive authority on things. Introducing your hosts, Josh Withers and Steve Malk.
Shall we? Yes, let's find them. It is the Think Committee once more. I am Steve Malk. Thank you for joining me. It's
pleasure.
Wonderful to have you here. Look, Joe Stanley has joined us.
That's me. I'm full of pleasure.
So very full of pleasure. Yeah. And
Sound surprised, like she just burst in.
Dan Hall has also joined us out of nowhere. Completely forgetting the etiquette of podcasting.
But pardon me.
I'll
fade once more into the shadows.
It's wonderful to have you here. Yes. I was just going to offer, Dan, you may have seen this, you may not have. Jo's, in her own right,
yes,
a television star.
Absolutely.
Televisual star person.
I'm not sure if I qualify for star.
Have you hosted your own show?
No. Oh. For 4 days.
Hey.
Before it got axed.
That is 4 more days. Yes. And it didn't even get axed because it was your fault.
No, it wasn't my fault.
No.
Well,
stupid,
I mean,
bit. Turns out she had a boyfriend already or something.
No, I don't think. Are you referring to Yasmin's getting married? I think it got axed because it didn't get great numbers. But back then, not great numbers was something like 600,000, which now
was
pretty good numbers.
Half of what Channel 10 gets now.
Yeah, so, you know. And also, I don't think Australia was ready for a show in which someone single might end up hooking up with someone they've not met yet, even though The Bachelor now is...
Oh,
very, very popular.
Well, we can talk about The Bachelor a bit later because that is on the tips of everyone's lips as far as 24 women debasing themselves for a man they've just met.
Don't even get me started.
Wow. But beyond that, Joe, you may have heard this. You're across all sorts of things in the entertainment industry.
Yes.
There is a television show coming to Australia that has launched overseas.
Yeah.
Called Married at First Sight.
Oh.
That involves, and Kate McLennan,
wow,
hello, you're here as
I was
well.
Just like holding back. Just
no, I want
being...
you to be in on this.
Oh, good, okay.
This because is not my thing.
I'm here as well.
See, Kate understands how podcasts work.
She was.
Unlike myself.
She was very politely adhering to the etiquette to what she referred, which neither of us, Dan or I
stomped all over it.
Two shits about.
But I wanted Kate in on this.
But then it got too long, didn't
it?
Yeah. Like
it was
too
awkward.
How would you be at the 20-minute mark? We'll introduce Kate.
It would have been great if the final line of the podcast was you, Steve, saying, oh, and Kate McLennan was here.
At that point, you could say, as was Charlie Pickering, who said nothing but just sat in the corner.
Yeah.
And Agro. Plus, obviously, Agro's handler.
Jamie Dunn.
I find it very hard to believe that those two people or three people would have sat back.
And not said a thing.
They wouldn't have. But
no,
I did. And that is just where everything goes wrong for me. Just,
they could have been talking, but Steve could have switched off their microphones.
I think Kate's too polite. You're too polite.
I
for
just
your own
need
good.
To be more of a go-getter.
Do you?
I need to speak up.
Yeah. You know, as a mother of a daughter, I'm always telling her, you don't need to be a good girl.
No, you're not.
Yeah,
I'm
also
I
need to be rude.
And I endorse those statements.
I take it back when she's 15.
And she wants to go on The Bachelor.
I'll take it back when she's 15 and she's been giving someone a head job down at football training.
That is not being a go-getter. That is being a slut.
With Osher Gunsberg hovering nearby with a rose.
And a crew, camera crew.
Mm.
Anyway, this show,
Married at First Sight.
Married at First Sight.
The premise is...
I'm pretty up to speed on it just from hearing the title, but go on.
Well, yeah, what if a man and a woman who have been put through the rigours of personality testing and all of that sort of stuff, selected by experts, best air quotes, as to be that they should be compatible, what if they first met at the altar?
Right.
And then live a life together as if they are married... And then come back at the end of period of time for the show and determine then whether or not they're willing to commit to each other beyond the experiment.
When we say live a life together as if they were married,
yes,
do they give their judgments on their deathbeds? Is this 30, 40 years down the line?
No, I think we wish that it would take that long. And
right.
It's a little bit arranged.
Yeah. Is this show playing the long game is what I'm asking.
Not as long as you want it to.
But these things rarely last more than 13 weeks.
Yeah, that's right.
The series won't last long.
Which is your typical entertainment relationship. 13 weeks, give or take.
I think that's pretty good.
Yeah, well...
I mean, with the Kardashian marriage, was that 13
54
weeks?
54 days or something?
I've got no idea.
52 days. But I can't work out what that is in women.
But when you think about, like, most of those kind of reality shows, like Big Brother.
Kardashian makes it different from Human Weeks.
There's always, like, cast romances and, you know, like, so if you're thinking you're shooting a TV show, there's always going to be two people that hook up and then when the TV show finishes, they'll break up. Yeah. So it's kind of just following just that.
Shared interest.
Yeah. It's kind of not that, not completely outside the realms of possibility.
You're putting people together in a high-pressure environment where they're spending crazy amounts of time with each other.
Yeah, but they don't live in the Big Brother house. Like, they meet, she's in a wedding dress, he's in a suit. They get committed. So it's not married.
I actually know someone who is... I can't remember how I know this because it must have... I must have been told about this in the, you know, the darker hours. It's not me, but I know someone who got a phone call from
a friend of a friend.
The mate saying, bring your suit,
come on,
get to the church.
Getting here.
And because he knows the groom of this show.
Wow.
I don't know. I can't remember who it is, which is convenient for that person because they've probably signed someone.
I can reveal that there have been four couples married.
At first sight?
At first sight in Australia in the last 6 to 8 weeks.
Yeah.
And they are filming that because when they have it, they then have a reception and then they go on their honeymoon. So as far as them living a life, they're not in the pressure cooker of a Big Brother house.
No.
But they do have cameras with them and following them and doing, you know, so what are we doing today, darling? I don't know. Let's go jet skiing. That they're being, and then they come back to life and go to work and stuff and then come back to
Are they legit home. Married?
No,
they can't show do that. Thing.
Yeah, because that has all kinds of legal implications.
No, that's right.
Anytime you see a wedding on TV or radio, they can't legally do it. It's a commitment ceremony. So.
And that cake is styrofoam. It's all for show.
It's a facade.
I will say two things. Firstly,
lies!
Culturally, around the world, many people who are in arranged marriages say they're very happy that way.
Yes.
It works well for them.
Oh, and that's, I think, what they're testing.
Yes. Mm. And second to that, I would say... I think there are people who have bought houses on first sight, and that's a far greater commitment than getting married.
You can't divorce that house as quickly.
I basically did that.
Did you?
Second sight.
Second sight. There you go.
Yeah, but how long was the first visit? Like a week or an hour?
Oh, 20 minutes.
You only get 20 minutes when you're going through a house.
Well, you guys are trying to buy in some pretty swanky areas then. 20 minutes.
Well, look, the house was giving me the eyes.
It was going to come hither.
Absolutely.
Sultry kind of look.
Had a low-cut lawn.
Always. Nice little strip out the front.
Exactly.
Slut.
That's what my husband liked about me too. We first got together. Low-cut lawn. Very well kept.
Yeah, well.
They have been going out with hippies before me, so.
Second owner.
I have to say. They had a very low bar when it came to that.
Low bar. Wow. Mm. We've gone to all strange places. Mm. Kate, if you were presented in that scenario where someone said to you, either for work purposes, hey, Kate, look, we've had an actual girl drop out. Can you come and be a part of this and sort of play along with the scenario, be the girl in this situation? Is that something that you would entertain?
Oh, yeah, I would, because I entertain the idea of everything. It's like... That's one of those things that, you know, it depends. Could you ring everyone around you and say, this isn't real, this isn't real? But I'm, like, notoriously bad at keeping a secret. So I don't think I'd be able to do it.
Well, I think your friends would become aware if, certainly if you invited them to a wedding.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of context, which they would all have to sign. They would have to sign confidentiality agreements in part, no photos and stuff, that they could publish. But then also that when you get back from your fake honeymoon, Kate's not living in her place anymore. She's living in a place with a dude who she's calling her husband.
Yeah. Look, it's only just occurred to me as you were speaking, what would my boyfriend say about it? Like, that was about the four.
It's just a job, dear. Don't worry about it. We're getting some sweet coin from it.
Yeah.
It'll be the fourth or fifth thing that occurs to you.
I'm doing it for us.
A, how much do I get paid? B, what's the food like?
See
what am I wearing?
Would I have to have sex with that guy?
That's the number one thing I'm thinking. Do they have sex?
Well, I would imagine that that's at the call of the couple involved.
Yes,
consenting
of course
adults.
It would be.
I reckon they give it a crack.
Oh, you'd have to, wouldn't you?
I reckon they get carried away with the moment.
Well, given that they're
on a honeymoon.
They're set up to, you know, you've got
fancy hotels and whatnot.
Similar and complementary interests. You're the kind. They're not going to go. Let's get this racist, you know, right wing someone and let's get a hippy dippy something and put them together.
That would be a
maybe
better show.
Maybe that is what
but
they're going to do.
It's not a comedy. It's a, reality drama.
I think if I was single, I would do it because I'd be fascinated to see, with all their crazy psychologist testing, blah, 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 that they might have at their disposal.
Who they paired you with.
Yeah, and what if that was the love of your life? How amazing. It would get you out of the pubs and off Tinder. Awesome.
How would you be if, in Kate's scenario, how do I tell my boyfriend? You decide not to tell him until later. I've got this thing today, darling, and then I'll tell you when I get home, for fear of you really want to do it and you might think he'd... You get to the altar and it's him.
Well, that'd freak me out even more, I think. Because then I'm like, well, we didn't agree upon this.
We
this
need to wasn't. Have a very
yeah, we didn't. This was never part of the plan.
You're dropped, mister.
Too much pressure. No, I don't know. That's a really weird scenario. I'm trying to figure out how this would translate to good TV. I'm not sure if it would.
Well, in that they were unaware that you two were in a relationship prior. You've just announced that you've been sucked into it. He's applied or whatever, which makes it even a bit ickier, doesn't it, really?
This is some kind of bizarro world that you're
I'm finding it quite difficult to kind of put myself in. Do I still get paid?
Yes.
Oh, good. Okay. Yeah,
you've been called on by a producer.
Does he get paid?
Yeah, he's getting paid.
Oh, good. We're both getting paid, so it's win-win.
They don't get paid much.
No,
they wouldn't.
Reality TV doesn't
But you do get a lot of big experiences. That's the important thing. Like, no one believes for a second that, and I thought this was delightful, and I'm sorry to dive into reality television so deeply. With The Bachelor appearing on our screens again, or as I like to call it, the Osha Gunsberg Show plus some Desperate Chicks.
I don't know about that.
You reckon? I reckon he's the star of the show. This The Bachelor's just...
Oh, no, Osha's great. No, I don't know if they're all that desperate. I like the lady. I can't remember her name, the one that just sort of stands back. It's like, I'm not going to talk to you.
The Audrey Hepburn.
She seems a little more savvy than the others.
She's great, I reckon.
When you're competing with 23 other ladies, that takes a lot of balls to go... I'll have a quick conversation, then I'll let him chase me.
Yeah.
And then in the entire second episode to complain that he's not talking to you because he has 20 other women that are throwing themselves at him.
She should commit to that whole woman of mystery bit and just show up in a Phantom of the Opera style mask. And like a head to floor robe.
Yeah. Or a hijab or something.
Because if you're the guy, that's a mystery that needs answering.
What is happening there?
She is getting my focus.
A different outfit every day. Like, different days. She's like a clown outfit.
A different face every day, like elaborate plastic surgery.
Oh, like Face Off.
Sure, like Face Off.
Yeah.
At the heart of it.
That wasn't my point about The Bachelor.
At the heart of it. The fact that they are 24 women competing for the attentions of one man, but in a very passive way. Does that not make your skin crawl?
Yeah, no, it's pretty disturbing.
The whole thing is a vomitorium.
Yeah. However, I had someone say, it's just like being in a pub. You're competing with all the women there. And I'm like, yeah, but I'm not sitting around waiting for a man to hand me a rose.
I'm
buying him a drink.
Yeah.
That's right. In a pub, you usually have more than one dude to pick from.
Yeah. Although, if Blake was in that pub, probably he'd be the only dude.
Yeah, it's true.
I'd be leaving that pub. As another... lesser dude.
That's right.
I'd be leaving that pub and just going home.
And I'd walk in and go, they're all taken. And it'd be straight back out.
I hosted a dating function a couple of weeks ago.
Awesome.
So it was for a dating website and they had a mixer, I guess.
Yep.
And they had vases of roses throughout the room where these guys could give the women a rose if they so desired, with a little tag on it, and they could write their phone number on there.
Wow.
I guess a lot of roses were given out and a lot were discarded.
No.
A lot were discarded. Roses?
What was that?
Could anyone give a rose, or was it gender specific? It wasn't the guys give the roses to the girls or vice versa.
No, it wasn't specified. But there were only a couple going around. There was lots of controversy though when one guy gave two girls a rose.
Ooh.
That was He was passing one on the dance floor.
Blake?
She went to the toilet, came
Blake's
back.
Blake's giving 20 women a rose.
Oh, yeah.
I know.
If it wasn't on TV, it would be psychopathic behaviour.
Talk about mixed messages,
And if any of those chicks think that he's not off jagging all of them,
they're
deluded.
Yeah.
Crazy. That's a big house that I would expect. There's a lot of kind of corridors where sneaky can... You're coming into my room tonight, girlfriend.
I hope that he calls it sneaky. Then he walks up to a girl in his suit, all suave. So how about you and I head back up tomorrow and for some
He has the deepest voice in the history of the world. I don't think it would matter.
Yeah, he's got a job. He's got a job in FM radio after this.
So he could just walk up to a girl and like read the Leonardo DiCaprio trivia off a Fantails rapper, but in that voice.
Oh no, he's the kind of guy who would walk up with his own big subwoofer, lay it down on the ground, and politely suggest that she sits down here while he reads her, you know, the first of Shakespeare's somethings, and she has quite the time.
Shakespeare's somethings, that great work.
I was trying. What's the poems that he wrote?
Sonnets.
Thank you. Sonnets. So I'm not good at this. The whole point of bringing up The Bachelor was that in...
Yes, okay.
So, yes, sorry, it took us off on a tangent.
Oh, no, that's... Welcome to the thing. We have... he, you know, gets to meet all of the women and he has to cull four out in the first night. And it's all very first, kind of date nerves, first night. Oh, who's he going to pick? And, hi, I've written a song for you. Hi, I'm going to watch you while you sleep. All of the stalkery things that happen. But then second night, he takes one of them on... A date, like it's a.
He doesn't just take one of them on. In a fist fight.
An actual date, and she's like the recounting of the date from her perspective is, oh, it was so beautiful, and all this for me. He did all this for me. Whoa.
Well, yeah.
He did not a damn thing for you.
The producer did everything.
Other than turn up in the suit he was told to wear.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, totally. The producer plans everything.
And they're delivering this out of now we've. Read your application. We've read your application, and we know that you like this and that, and these smells, and this kind of experience, and you like that similar but something different with a tweak and a cherry on top. So, when you get to have a date, it's going to be the thing that just, you know, amazes you, and all of the things. When Diana, the one that wants to be married by Mickey Mouse,
Princess Diana. Call
oh my God!
The name to which what? She has.
Yeah, she called herself Princess Diana. No, Diana, like the princess. Yes. She stopped reading Princess Diana's autobiography after she had the first child.
She really needed to finish that book.
Yeah, yeah, a lot. Mm. There's a lot that needed to be read to follow that on. When Diana's date happens, I will promise you, it's probably going to be, you know, that kind of weird...
Fast cars.
Let's go to... someone's ringing my doorbell. Just you guys talk about yourselves.
The room service I ordered. And the massage.
The massage.
The massage. I asked for topless like Blake.
Hello.
Awesome. Whatever it is, I'll have it.
Thank you.
There we go. What are they?
Is it your clothes? I'll take them.
Yeah, trust me, you and the girls could probably take my clothes.
Sold.
All fit into the one amount of them.
Crazy. I'm glad to see that you had your laundry done. I've been on the road for a week, so in the flow of the podcast.
Oh
no, that will just probably stay in there. All of the jokes about Joe and massages and stuff. Yeah, so Diana's going to have... Something that's right up her alley and everyone's going to go, what the what?
It's setting such an unattainable precedent for most dudes. Like, yeah. I don't imagine there's too many dudes sitting back with their girlfriends.
Taking notes.
Yeah, going, oh, I feel really intimidated by this guy. Like, you know,
hello.
I don't think that.
Except, do you really want to go on the kind of date that they have on those shows? Like, I don't want to be taken down a beach on a horse.
No.
Shits me. That with 23 other girls.
And bareback, no less.
Bareback, whatever. I've no interest in those elaborate, you know, going on a yacht and having to sit there in the freezer.
What's your ideal date, Justine?
Well, I would be happy to go and have meatballs somewhere and see a movie and then go home and...
Have at it.
Where is that reality television
show? That, my friends, that is 1972 puberty blues is what's going on there.
I just don't understand this concept that is what a man needs to do to make a woman feel like he's, you know, treating her like a princess. Yes. or like, you know, that's just crazy.
What's your ideal date, Kate?
I was just trying to think what my ideal date would be. I don't even know. Like, I think the only... date I've ever been on was to the football.
Great date.
And that was a good date.
If you're a footy fan, that's happening, right?
Because it's good to have something that can, like, you can talk as much or as little as you want.
Yeah. Yes,
and it holds alcohol.
Yes.
And holds your interest.
Yeah.
Was it your team?
No, it was like a community game. So it was, you know, like it was just fun times.
Didn't care about the outcome, but I had a good time.
Yeah. So that was a pretty good date.
Meat pies, couple of fried dimmies.
Yeah.
That is a great date.
Loving it.
A couple of tinnies, done.
Yes.
You know, can you hold on my beer for me, like while I change, you know, stubby holders?
That's
it's
romance.
Just, yeah. That is.
Hold
complete
my hand while
romance.
I hold it. Everyone's happy.
Yeah.
Well, that's not the first date. Probably second or third.
Well, it depends. I don't know how you roll, but quite frankly.
Well, you haven't seen my new show, Vomit at First Sight.
No, it's true.
It's going to be great.
It's going to be out where they sink a slab and then it's the first one to vomit.
And yeah. then there's a guy and a girl pushed into a bathroom. Mm. They both had a slab.
Yep.
One of them's going to vomit. Mm. But who? That's the mystery. That's at the whole game part, of the show.
At what part of the fumbly intercourse do they vomit? That's the real question.
Ooh. Tune in to find out.
Get it tonight on 10. What's your ideal date, Dan?
Well, so far, meatballs with Joe Stanley sounding pretty good.
Mm. Mate, there's a meatball place just around the corner. Let me tell you. I went to the apparent, you know, event of the season of the year last year, I think it was, when Ellen came out for Swiss, right? And, you know, they held this cocktail party. Did anybody else go to this?
No, nope. Joe, we didn't. Stop rubbing it in our faces.
I was washing my hair that night.
It was a total farce, let me tell you, because it was like the hottest ticket in town. Everybody got the ticket, got the invites, was like, oh, I'm going to Ellen's party, right? Because it's exciting to see Ellen's Jennifer.
Yeah.
She wasn't Portia there. And Rosie, of course. They were there. There might
be some dancing.
They were there, of course.
In the roped-off area.
In the roped-off area, and they got on stage and talked about how amazing Swiss was, and then they left. And the food was like these tiny little things, like, you know, it was supposed to be all organic because she's
vegan rubbish.
Vegan crap. And I was like, well, firstly, I'm starving.
Were they just Swiss vitamins on a plate?
It was virtually the size
mashed
of,
into a ball.
Right?
Mm.
And
on toast.
You know, God bless Swiss, and I wish to hell one day I might have that kind of endorsement. However, it wasn't a party. It was basically getting a bunch of people in the room that they could talk to us about Swiss. It was like being invited to a Tupperware party.
Ooh, I was just going to say, it's got a
Ellen was there.
So it was
touch
really,
of the pyramid
really
scheme.
And I was wearing the fanciest dress I could possibly put my hands on, had my hair done and everything. Yeah. And I'm like, are you serious? We're going to eat meatballs.
Oh,
so we went round the corner and had the best meatballs you've ever had.
Is this what happens as you become more connected or more famous or considered to be more worthy, again, best air quotes, that your Tupperware party graduates to being a shithouse promotion for something that you would not really care too much for? Is that what, like, you know, it goes from that being, I kind of know what I'm being set up for here by getting an invitation to a Tupperware party
versus
Ellen's Swiss party?
You would have to be, I mean, you very quickly understand that everything has to be paid for by a company that's trying to sell you something.
Yeah.
Everything.
So you're accepting the ticket as you paying through a little bit of your soul.
Pretty much. But as I walk in the door, I know that someone's going to try to sell me something.
Yeah.
You know, just for the benefit of being in the room in her presence of the great
Here,
Ellen.
Take these. They're really good.
Yeah.
Oh, what?
Yeah. But, you know, that's life, isn't it? The
We're
whole world is
commercialised. Constantly being sold things.
The whole world is commercialised. The whole world is a brand content option. Isn't it not?
I'm only on this podcast to promote that vomiting show. It's going to be
it's
big.
It's got legs.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Echinacea, is it real? That's a question that we should be asking.
Is it a thing? Is that what you're suggesting?
No, my thing is actually somewhat related to our conversation in the reality context. But I'll put it to you like this. You're getting married. And I think there's some people in this room that might have considered that at some point in their lives. Sticking his hand in the air, am on my second one. In that context, you're getting married, there's going to be some form of ceremony, which then leads to some form of reception. Therefore, there's a list. There's an invite situation.
Mm.
Is it still a thing for people to get unreasonably upset if they're not invited to your reception? Because nowadays the trend seems to be, hey guys, it's this place, come for the wedding, it's an awesome time. But, you know, it kind of you have to read the invite and go, oh no, yes, I did make the reception cut. Or, no, I'm just invited to the afternoon tea and then I've got to bugger off.
When you say, is it a thing, do you mean, is that something that happens, that people get upset or people set their expectations high? Or are you asking whether to do so is justified?
I guess the thing I'm asking is it fair and reasonable to get upset if you don't get a Guernsey at someone's wedding reception?
I understand. If I might answer first,
no.
Everybody shut up and calm down.
Mm.
Have you, you and your lovely partner are having a child soon?
That's correct.
Are you, if I may impose, married or engaged?
No.
Or just together?
Together.
So there's been no pressure or talk of marriage because
we've talked
of
about it. It may happen, but it's not.
So you're not down the path of, and oh, we need to invite Uncle Joe and.
No. No, no.
They're just bound by sperm and egg.
Yes. Which,
exactly.
You know,
the most
law.
Beautiful
big
connection
big
there is.
Connected.
And common law, let's be fair. How long
and
have you been together?
Oh, God, that's bigger than a wedding.
Absolutely. It's roughly 6 years.
Yeah, yeah, no. You guys splitting up is like getting divorced. There's yeah, no well, easy way out of that.
There'll be a mortgage to worry about, a baby to worry about. Like,
yeah, yeah.
Whether or not we were married would be the least of our worries yeah. if we split up.
Yeah. Well, Gabby Greco's now entitled to, I think, about a fifth of everything that old fella has. So, yeah, I know. Look at the price you pay for a blowjob these days. Kate.
I have not been keeping up with inflation.
I don't know how. I think that's just, again, it's as you graduate through the entertainment echelons that the price starts to get more. The price you pay is
he has horrible. A very tenuous link on the word entertainment. Can we say that?
Oh, she's an entertainer.
A very tenuous.
She once had to be blown to her house for coffee, which is entertaining.
She's arguing with entertainment reporters on Twitter, so I think that makes it.
Yeah.
Cool.
I feel sad for her.
Mm.
I do, because I think she's very young.
Yes.
I think she has mental health issues.
Yes.
She's had some issues while she's been in Australia with him.
Yes.
And I don't think she's making sound decisions with the most well-adjusted of thought processes.
No, I agree. I think she has zero support structure in Australia.
Mm.
And your management is not your support structure. Let's start there. And so, yeah, consequently, she's under a lot of pressure, all of the things that are happening.
Mm.
And she's trying to make a way, you know. She's got a Maxim shoot to do. She's got something else to promote. It was seen at some point to be a wise career decision for her to connect with this elderly gentleman.
It's very alarming. If she was my daughter, I would be most slapping concerned. But hopefully my daughter doesn't grow up to think that a good career path is hooking up with a 80-year-old millionaire and
114.
Maxim front page.
I think it was a joint deal. I think he's got interest in the magazine.
He's 114... years old? Is that what you were saying?
Approximately. Upwards of 114. I think he might be like 160
if
now?
You cut him in half and count the rings, I think we're getting to that sort of point. He's been pushed, pulled, tucked and trimmed more than is fair for any human being.
And but this is why I think women are attracted to being with him, these young women, because they think they'll pay for them to get that work done as well. Like, I think
But they come to him with a fair amount of that. Like, it's...
To begin with.
They've got the aftermarket accessories already done. Mm. What are they looking for? It's an extra spoiler?
No, there's never enough in that world, though.
So romantic.
I know. Somewhat depressing.
Kate, without putting you on the spot, in that situation around the wedding scenario, have you been left off a guest list that you thought you maybe should have been on?
Well, it's something sort of similar. So last year we went to San Francisco for a wedding. And
like the Mamas and the Papas song.
Yeah. And so the groom and the
bride.
Bride. my terminology is not great.
So the groom and the groom.
No, it was groom and bride. It was a straight wedding.
There are straight people in San Francisco.
Yeah, I know. And so they're both not from America. So it was, classic destination wedding. Whole bunch of us from Australia went over. And then a whole bunch of the bride, she's from Canada. And so some of her, friends and family went there. And so all of the guys from Australia, or every male that was attending the wedding, got invited to the Bucks.
Mm-hmm.
And nearly every female, every female that was travelling to the wedding from Australia got invited to the Hens.
But not all the Canadians.
I didn't get invited.
To the Hens?
No.
Were you friends with the bride and groom or through your partner?
Through my partner. And so I'd met them a couple of times. But we'd literally just arrived to San Francisco. Like, we'd never been there before.
Yeah.
And that day, I had to kind of just wander around on my own while my partner was at the Bucks. Like, and it was this happening on the same day.
Of course, yeah.
And so it was kind of like at the time, I was like, oh, no, it's fine. Like, it's not, it's not a big deal. Like, it's really not a big deal. And I didn't know her that well. So I'm like, oh, it's not a big deal.
Yeah.
And then everyone around me was like, I'm really sorry you didn't get invited to. I was like, oh, no, it's not a big deal. It's not a big deal. And then I later found out that she was specifically had said, no, I don't know her. So I don't want her there. Even though there were other people that she didn't really know that well. And so now it's kind of like, it's weird. It's like a weird issue where I'm like, I don't know if I want to invest in having a friendship with you.
There's only so many times you can deflect too when people are like, oh, I'm sorry that you couldn't come. Yeah, that's awkward. Oh, no. Like, first time, that's fine or whatever. I'm a big girl. But when multiple people come at you with that similar kind of pseudo pity, oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah, that's yeah. Annoying. Like, awkwardness around it. You're just like, shut the fuck everyone up. I'm okay. When really you're not okay because they keep making a deal of it.
Yeah. Well, and but it's also about what happens. It's not so much that day. It's like, well, what happens? Like, if you don't get invited to someone's wedding and you continue to have a friendship with that person. Mm. And, you know, if you're catching up with people who were invited to the wedding, then how do you, like, then you feel like, oh, we're never going to be as good, close to you as what they are because, like, it's all a bit icky.
Yes, they accepted someone's wedding and they can do whatever the hell they want because they're paying a fucking fortune to have anybody there. So I kind of go, well, you just have to get over yourself and go, oh, well, they couldn't fit you in.
Yeah.
Something.
I mean, as someone who's had a wedding, like, you kind of wish you could have everybody in the whole world,
mm-hmm.
but you can't.
You're on a budget. Got to make some tough choices.
You've got to make some tough choices. And, oh, well, get over it.
I asked. Words to live by.
Get over it.
Oh, well, get over it.
But do you ever feel weird if there's, like, people that weren't at your wedding? Like, obviously, like, you meet new people anyway, so it's, you know, it's not like it.
Life continues.
Well, I have a very dear friend who I was quite close to when she planned her wedding. And
let's just call her Gina Liana.
She didn't invite me, and it was sort of funny at the time. I've gone, really? You're not inviting me? And she's gone, no, I can't. You know, the numbers are really tight. And I was like, oh, okay. Oh, well. Have a great day. Like, it was like, what am I going to do? And we're still really good friends.
Yeah.
My future husband has a thing for you and you can't be in the same room as him.
That would have been a better excuse.
No, yeah. I just sort of figured with your wedding, you can do whatever you want.
Yeah.
It's your day. It's your day, Kate.
But then you just get the whole, oh, but if you that their mum and the groom's mum and dad are chipping in a bit, so they've got their list of old that's buggers that really they want, hard. And then your mum and dad are chipping in a bit.
That's like, is a tough deal.
That's why it's really hard, and you're juggling a lot of politics internally, and
so you've got shareholders in a wedding.
I appreciate that there is there's a lot of paternal maternal love and effort that goes into parents wanting to help pay or pay for the wedding. They feel, whether it's they feel it's their responsibility because that's the tradition they've grown in, or whether they are legitimately trying to be helpful, you know, we want you to have a lovely day, so here's unspecified amount of cash. Just whatever reason, for them to go, hey, here's some help. And if they can stand back and then let you have that moment to do and prepare and make it to be what you want, I think you have very somehow luckily scored the most amazing parents or people in the world. Because normal, my parents, here's some money, can we pay? No, we don't want you to pay. Oh, but we want to help out. By the way, here's the list of people you now need to invite. No, we didn't want the money in the first place. Have it back. Oh, but you can't have a wedding and not have Uncle George and, you know, Mildred and Fred and Sue from around the corner and all of the things. It pains me.
Yeah. It causes, like, my dad's got 9 brothers and sisters. Mm. Whenever someone in that family gets married, and inevitably someone is left off the list, and like it causes all sorts of dramas.
That's why people elope, isn't it?
I think so.
Yeah,
because they can't afford the honeymoon and the wedding, so they just have the honeymoon and get married.
Off. Yeah.
Well, my sub thing was connected to this. Whether it's the bride and groom choosing to pay for all of it themselves, and therefore it, by design, limiting what they want to do, or them saying, no, we're going to make it really special and so we only want to have a few people there. Is that a thing? Or by extension, a friend of mine, his wife announced that it's his birthday coming up shortly and there's going to be a party.
Oh, hijack wedding.
In part, right, we want you to come to the party and there'll be food and stuff. So RSVP if you're coming at night so we can prepare for that. In the afternoon, there's going to be some laser skirmish, which you're all welcome to, and it'll cost you $25.
Right.
Now, I have no issue per se paying the $25, but if you're holding a party, isn't it your responsibility to say, we're covering the cost of all of this?
I don't believe so. Because what you're describing is two events that happen to be close in time to each other. But all
encapsulated in the same invitation.
Okay, that's a little bit odd.
I don't know. Why are they doing the skirmish in the first place? Like, I find that a very strange. So the party is for his birthday.
The whole afternoon, evening schmozzle is his birthday celebration. Right. It's just there's a acknowledgement that not everyone wants to run around and shoot people.
No.
So there's the afternoon activity, and then there's the night formal come and have cake.
Yeah. right
portion.
I think yes. I'm okay with it all.
Yeah, I'm okay fine with it.
I don't think that the skirmish, I would see that as just, it's a fun thing to do, you know, in celebration of the birthday, and if you want to come, great, pay for yourself.
Yeah, because he might have said, this is something I really want to do.
Sure.
So let's do that for my birthday. Let's do laser skirmish.
I want to shoot things at my best friends.
Exactly. And then someone...
Class one laser devices.
And then that's what I want. The voice of reason has come in and said, not everybody wants to do that. If you say that's what you're doing, everyone's going to roll their eyes and think, ugh, we're doing laser skirmish.
Mm.
Yeah. So do that with a handful of people who will enjoy it. And then afterwards, let's all just do cake and beers.
Mm. Yeah, I think it's fine.
So
you
it's
know,
a middle ground. It's a compromise option.
Also, like, just say you know, just say there's this guy and he's like, yeah, I want to do this activity. Mm. And, like, if it was any other day, any other weekend, everyone would pay.
Good point.
And so if you didn't do it on that birthday,
yep.
It's just so hard to catch up these days, you know? Like, he's just killing two birds with one stone, I reckon.
Are you going to be catching up with that many people when you're running around trying to shoot them, though? Really?
No, but it's an activity,
though.
It's like a... Yeah. People just want shit to talk about.
Yeah.
Because maybe he's just like really socially awkward or something. Just like that night, it's like they'll be all,
God,
I got you a beauty today.
He's got a funny story about copying
your funny story
to the nuts.
Maybe
later on.
He's got a comedy festival, he's got a show that he's got to write, and all he's got is a title. It's called Laser Skirmish.
Yeah, just create some stories.
All right, so I'm happy with that. Lift back out of that. The wedding thing.
The wedding thing is
that's
a little dicier.
Yeah, it's not as clean cut.
Sorry, Joe, go on.
There you go.
All right, I will. You're talking about people who have a smallish wedding, don't invite a lot of people.
They've chosen to limit it.
Yep.
Because let's face it, you can invite millions of people to your wedding. You may say, I'm just going to have close family. There's going to be a cap on the invitations at some point. If you don't get an invite because you might have thought that you were close or closer than you thought that you actually were, or even acknowledge, no, I just don't want to invite you. Oh, okay, that's fine. Should you be? Is it reasonable for that person to say, "Look, Kate, I really want you to be there, but we can't fit the numbers in."
Yeah.
I don't think.
Is it fair for Kate to do that?
Off her nut.
I don't think anybody other than the couple should really have a strong opinion about it.
Yeah, Do you know what's a weird one that I've experienced as well, which is the opposite, where you get invited to a wedding and you just know you shouldn't be there.
Ooh.
Like you're going, this friendship is done. Like we're never going to see each other after this day. We haven't seen each other in 3 years. Why are you invited?
Because
they must be hard up for numbers.
It's either present material or it's so that, you know, you can see me in all my finery.
I would RSVP no in that situation, 100%.
Yeah,
turning down the wedding invite, that's
controversial. We like a feed, but, you know.
Yeah, that's it. Do you say no to a wedding?
Free food and grog.
In that situation, I would say no.
Do you know, we had when we got married, my husband insisted on putting this chick on the invite list, and I was like, I'm certain we're not going to know her in a year.
Yes.
Like, we were working on a, you know, what do you call it, community TV show. So we were working very closely together. But I was like, once this show's done and dusted, I don't think that she's going to be coming around.
Not going to care.
You know, for grand final day. Like, that chick's not going to be in our life.
Yes.
And he insisted, because we were working so closely with her, like, you know, when it's like a work team, it's really hard to leave one person out.
Yeah.
Right? But I was like, I promise you she's not. And in the end, he insisted, and she came. We didn't know her 2 months later, have never spoken a word to her since. And not only that, right, and I've never, ever forgiven her for this, the next day...
She's gone to jump on the bouquet and elbowed someone.
The next day, we were opening all the presents.
Uh-oh.
Right?
Uh-oh.
And we get to this card, an envelope, not attached to anything. And I'm like,
random.
Okay, this is interesting. I open it up, and it's from her, and she's written... I was struggling to work out what to give such a beautiful couple who are so clearly in love. You know, how could you possibly buy something that symbolises such an incredible union?
I know where this is going. Keep talking.
So instead, my gift to you is this, the reminder to always love each other.
Oh.
Can you fucking believe that?
And on Monday,
like,
you'll find me.
I paid $150 a head for that. Yes.
That's something I would have done when I was 24. That's
I like her suggestion that without that card, you may have just forgotten
I know.
To love each other.
I know.
Hang on a second. What are you doing in my house? At... Wait, there's a note here on the fridge. Okay, we love each other.
Oh, that's right. I've only just spent a fortune committing in front of all of our friends and family and that bitch who I'll never like again. That we will love each other forever.
It's like you have love Alzheimer's.
That is ballsy. Oh,
that's the
that's
worst.
That's a ballsy play to make.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I was like, that's it.
She's either super aware and knows that she has no place being at this wedding.
Well, I think it was definitely a case scenario. She probably was going, I don't want to be here. It's so weird that they invited me, so yeah. I'm not spending a cent on the present.
In principle now, she's got to be invited to other major milestones of your life.
Well, I don't remember a name other than her name was Michelle, and I can't even tell you what she looked like. It was 15 years ago.
Well, that's all sorts of disappointment.
Yeah. All Michelle's I'm quite suspicious of. Case it's her.
No good. No.
That's a bold move. It is a bold move because, like, I'll admit I've been to weddings when I was younger, you know, like me and my whatever stoner boyfriend I had with me at the time and just, like, rocking up to weddings and we would never get presents for it like because we didn't have any money or we'd get something that was like a 40-buck vase or there'd be the organised friend. Little bit of an effort. Yeah. We didn't pretend that words in a card
made up
a present.
For.
We didn't do that. Oh. Like
and when, if you get married young and all your friends are young, I don't think you expect really expensive
presents.
I didn't
expect much. Like we were 27, so we didn't expect much.
People are just making their way in the world.
People are just making their way in the world. A 40-buck vase, great.
But nobody knows. So I think you need to be told when you know with weddings. I think you need to be right. Okay, you need to take $150 minimum is what you need to be spending. That's what you need to. Like I had someone, you know. I've got an older friend who I'm like, how much do I need to spend? And she's like, well, probably 150.
Is this an older
maybe
200. Friend who won't be invited to your wedding?
No, she'll be there.
She'll be
running
she'll
the show. She'll check people's presents at the door and go, no, you're not coming in.
People walk in the door.
She's got some kind of scanner like at the airport, but instead of metal, it just flashes up with how much it's worth.
Mm. That's it.
Yeah.
Isn't that why people use... wedding registries so they know how tight their friends are.
That's the whole point of them, isn't it?
Yeah, no, but I had a registry so that people could put in together because I knew they had no money.
Sure.
So I was like, you know.
But you did only put a black Lamborghini Countach on
very,
the register.
Very useful things like everything was wine glasses, basically. What else do you want? It's just wine glasses. What about when you get invited to something and they say no presents? And so you go, cool, so no presents, and you rock up no present, and everybody else is taking a gift?
Yeah.
What the hell?
That's when you write
totally
a
betrayed.
Shitty little note
on a
card. Reminding them to love each other.
That just made me want to punch people when I rock up with a present. I'm like, oh, now I look like
I look like an asshole.
You've totally betrayed the no present pact.
Is the wishing well a reasonable replacement for present these days? Because that seems to be a lot of people getting married.
I don't like
they've got all
well.
The things they need.
I don't
like it.
Yeah, I'm not into it.
I never know how much money to put in.
Don't like it at all.
I know there's a minimum amount where anything lower than that will make you seem like a tight ass.
Yeah.
I have no concept of what
apparently.
It is.
Yeah, I just think that the wishing well is not in the spirit of inviting people who will go out shopping hoping to find a present that looks a lot more expensive than what you spent on it.
That's the game.
Like,
that's
that
the whole
the
fun
whole
of it.
Point,
it is.
It?
It's the game of wedding is that.
So don't be asking me to put cash in.
Yeah.
We've just created.
I can't find a $50 note that looks like a $100 note.
A whole new reality franchise. The shopping for a wedding reality game where you have to go and you've got a budget of $50. Pardon me, you've got to come up with a present that looks like it's way more than that. But it can't be any of this, you know, we've taken something home and glitter, you know, hot glued on some sequins
or
nothing.
No. You go to your factory outlets. My mum's introduced me to the factory outlet shopping.
It's the place to do it, is it?
Yeah, because there are Wedgwood factory outlets, Royal Doulton factory outlets.
But do people still want that?
Oh, at a wedding they do. Oh, yeah. Because then your mum can, when you open it up, your mum can over go, turn over the plate and go, Royal Doulton.
Never have enough crockery.
No. It comes across as a good wedding present, like it ticks that box. Even if you'll never use it, you'll nod and you'll acknowledge that, yes, that is a wedding present.
But that's the problem.
Well done, everybody.
When I split up with my wife, my first wife, the issue became we had all this shit in boxes that was lead crystal and, you know, pseudo-decent crockery that we'd never used. that it became, well, do you want... It was that not even days, I want it, no, I want it. It was that, do you want it? I don't want it. I don't want it either.
Put it on eBay. Make a bit of cash out of it.
Yeah, well, we couldn't then.
No.
eBay was but an infant.
Because I think eBay really assists in divorces now.
It assists in divorces.
I think it would.
It would, well, you just, in getting you just rid described of, a situation where it would come in gifts. Perfectly handy. Yeah.
I thought you meant it would assist in divorces by, well, I will, you say, know, husband buys lots and lots and lots and lots of shit.
Yes, I will say that my husband is a collector.
Are they action figures?
Yeah, they're toys. Okay.
And the See, Steve, you tried to class it up. You tried to give it, make it sound at least a tiny little bit legitimate and mature.
Yeah, I knew where it was coming from.
The day I opened the door to a delivery man with a thigh high figurine of something from Texas Chainsaw Massacre that yells at you, "This is my boomstick." That day, I was ready to divorce my husband.
Does he have a special room where he keeps it all?
He did have. But we've been in a different house, and so. And we had a child.
It's scattered around the house.
It's in the roof. Oh. And now he's slowly selling them all now.
He's selling them all. Oh, good.
So now he thinks he's going to make a profit on them. But
he's divesting the asset. And the irony is that you think that he's offloading it all, when actually what he's really doing is just squirreling it away.
He's got a storage unit somewhere.
He's invented a phony eBay buyer. That's just his name backwards or something.
He's buying his own stuff and putting it in a storage locker.
Well, hilariously though, if you go on eBay and you start looking for those sorts of things, those collectibles, almost 50% of them have next to them, "having a baby, wife making me sell."
Because that's the best way to get pity and make them think, oh, well, then maybe this is worth the value that he's put on it.
Possibly. But I do
There is not a legitimate description. There's not a legitimate description for anything on eBay. It's all designed to carry emotional contact and, yeah.
Mm. I'm allowing, how nice am I? I'm allowing him to keep the original Steve Austin doll that he had when he was a kid, which is still in box. So I'm allowing him to keep that.
To another as nerdy a person as he is, that would be worth a mint.
Allowing him.
You've not let him sell the wrong... He's selling the wrong things.
But he loves that.
Sure, but you want to... He loves it. You want to make some money out of that? Sell that.
How much is that worth?
I can't tell you, but it's going to be worth some stuff.
Do some eBay research.
Yeah. So weddings, we've just determined they're a thing that are a nightmare. Joe, do you come to us with a thing that you want to discuss?
I do come with a thing.
Ooh.
See how seamlessly this happens?
Mm. Yeah. Okay, so I read today about a man whose name is well researched here.
Joe is currently on a computer.
Okay. His name is Blake Beckford, okay. And he is a male bodybuilder model, right? And he has joined what I now think is a thing, and I'm presenting it to the thing committee to see if it is.
That's us.
That is you, Dan. He has joined what I believe is a thing, which is hot people showing photos, publishing photos of themselves with colostomy bags.
Oh, we've got a photo up here for the listeners. There is a photo.
This dude, his name is Blake Beckford, and he's really hot, but he's had a terrible Crohn's disease issue, and so he's had to have a colostomy bag. It happens. No big deal.
Just for the record, Crohn's disease is not funny.
Not at all.
We can move on. I just wanted to acknowledge that we're not going to make fun of people that do have Crohn's disease.
I am not making fun this of is any not that illnesses issue. Here.
No. Agreed.
Neither of you can speak for me, so let's just see where this conversation takes us.
Well, I know that I do give you the shits. So
this follows on from another model whose name was Bethany Townsend, another very beautiful young person who also published photos of herself.
Yes, there she is. Yeah, I remember seeing that one.
Yeah, that happened in July, and after that, there was, like, a thing online
where
a bunch of women were publishing photos of them in their bikinis with their colostomy bags.
Are those colostomy bags, do they have anything in them? They look empty to me.
Which is not a bad thing, because you don't want to see a colostomy bag that's got stuff in it.
But if you're going to do it, you may as well do it. You know, if you're going to show it in all its glory, why don't you show it? Pumped up a bit.
We all know what a colostomy bag is, don't we? In the
room. For context, if you Google,
everyone else Google it. That's
if you Google hot people colostomy bags and click on images, you'll see what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Now you can do that. Whether you should, Up to you.
Well, hey, Ma, she done got her shit bag out.
If you don't know what a colostomy bag is, these are people who have had really bad digestive problems. These poor people who have suffered extremely, and some of them were close to death, and they've had to have parts of their bowel or their intestine removed and replaced with an external device.
Yes.
Oh my God, what am I? I cannot. Yeah, believe that's come like. Out
that's high quality. Yeah, it's like that's Dr. good radio, Ozone, right, Angie? Yeah. You've prepared.
Anyway, I'm wondering, is this a thing, right? Because you know how, and Kate, you'd be fully familiar with how women in the public eye are described as brave because they publish photos of themselves without makeup.
Oh, so brave.
And to so me, brave. I go, that's not brave. That's just me almost every day.
That's just looking at a human being.
That's right. Okay.
We all do it all the time.
Is this an extension of us going, oh, this is we're beautiful and we're real, right? Because if that's the case, why can't I say I'm beautiful and I just happen to have a medically bad case of cellulite? Why can't I just pull that out and say, you know, all beauty is acceptable, I'm beautiful and I have a very hairy back. Well, that wouldn't appear in a magazine.
One who said it doesn't. I'm sure that there are magazines in Europe that would celebrate that.
Really? Because I do have quite hairy back.
This could be a real cash cow.
You just opened up a whole, like, looking glass of issues going on here.
I know, but don't you think, like, the concept of what's beautiful, these people wouldn't have done it if they were...
Me.
Would you have done that?
I'm not going to get in my swimmer and take a photograph, and I don't have a colostomy.
Right.
Yet.
Well, that I'm willing to admit to. Look, there's always somewhere I can reach further.
It's, like, it seems to kind of be coming from a place of vanity. Is it, do you think?
I think it's about them owning it. That, reasonably speaking, normally a colostomy is something that's kept quite secret. You know, there's a shame about that, whether it's for the reason that you've got it or the fact that, let's be fair, it's a part of the whole bodily function stuff that we tend to not like to talk about once you get above the age of 18 months.
Right.
Or above the age of 70-something.
Yeah.
You know, when you have to deal with it. But, you know, when you're 20-something, 30-something, you don't want to necessarily have to go, hey, guys, I really need to find a bathroom because otherwise shit is going to leak through my shirt. So to then bear all, like, to be in a bikini or a swimmer, and here's my, and I'm looking pretty white hot to start with, but here's my colostomy.
Yeah.
It is in part, I guess, an acceptance issue, a body acceptance issue for them and wanting to feel like I can.
Which I totally celebrate. I think it's fantastic. I love that they've done this. I love that it's totally, you know, people are discussing, because of them, the fact that these illnesses exist because, you know, what I describe, because I've had, not anything like that, but I've had issues. I have to get a colonoscopy every 2 years, right? So, you know, people don't like talking about poo issues.
No.
To go on with, and they're very common. So I love that this is all out in the open. But the concept, that would only be there because that she's already hot.
Yes. Yeah, well, this is that's what I'm wondering if we are more, but I don't know. Like, I guess if she's the vehicle to get us talking, then that's okay.
But somehow, started if she wasn't hot though, like if she was a not as you know rocket solid good looking chick, and she was like, you know what, I'm gonna put out a photo with me with my colostomy,
and also if it wasn't a professionally posed and lit and reproduced image.
Wasn't she a Miss something? Like she appeared on the catwalk in the Miss whatever pageant.
Miss Bag of Wee 2012.
With the colonoscopy. But I don't know, I'm not sure. But all I'm saying is that because they're hot, that's far more acceptable than, say, a guy getting out with giant man boobs.
What no next? One wants to see that. Are people going to be showing us their prolapses? Like, is that going to be the next thing that we get to see? Here I am in my, you know, my G-string and check out my prolapse and the way that it kind of folds around.
It's hard to shoot a good prolapse shot, isn't it?
I'm like, getting off the internet just in case that happens.
Well, it's like you guys would have seen during...
Going rural.
Very, very Unabomber. During the World Cup, they had those couple of gentlemen that seemed to appear, and I don't know if it's been resolved that was an internet prank or legitimate, but those guys wearing, what do they call them, Y-strings or something? that were basically a sack
that went
over their fellow and thing and then it went around their leg and sort of tucked itself on and that was it.
Yeah, I know. I've seen that.
That's as close as you'll get to see in a whole bunch of everything.
Yeah, I've seen that particular garment before online and it's a real thing.
And you've hovered over the buy button for...
I've considered
10 to 15 minutes.
Purchasing it for my husband, yeah.
Sure.
I sadly had to think through the physics of how that worked because when you see it, it's a covering over the C&B that then stretches around the leg, over usually over the top of the buttock or around the side of the buttock.
But it hooks into the butt crack.
Yeah, but that doesn't keep it there. There's actually, it comes back through under your legs and actually you put a hoop, there's a kind of like a hoopy hole thing that goes over the C&B to start with. So that it's got something to attach onto itself.
God, it sounds like a torture chamber.
That Malk is doing to describe this right now is spectacular.
Yeah, I'm trying to get this visual. It's
so
like...
if you think, to put it on, you thread your C&B through this hole. It has this long dangle bit of material on it that you then thread between your legs, up your crack, around the top of your cheek, and then down and you feed the pouch part over your C&B to hide, and it hides the hoop. And everything is safe.
I'm trying to work out for what purpose.
Yeah, you've hooked us up with the how. We're all still stuck on the why.
it's as close as you can get to the amazing tan that you would want on a Brazilian beach, I guess, Dan.
Right.
Sure.
Because so just nude up.
I would have thought, gets this family get and kids out.
Around. You're at 99.95% naked. Just go all the way.
Mm. Yeah. That's what I think.
So, Dan, you'd say no to that garment?
I would say no to that garment. But apparently yes to nudism. This is new to myself.
But
following my own line of logic.
You're rejecting hiding your own shame in favour of revealing your shame.
I'm nothing but shame, so
why
not just get it out there?
When you think about a bra is not too dissimilar.
To a...
us wearing a
pouch.
Bra. Yeah. Like, it's like a, as you call them, a C&B. Like,
little,
it's a C&B bra.
The skirt boat.
Yeah, but the catch is I think that the bra is designed to be as practical a solution to providing support for the breast, whereas there's nothing supportive going on with that string thing. It's just about covering the least amount of you without it falling off.
It's keeping you just legal, basically.
Oh, you know which way the guy's dressed because that's the only way it can be to keep it all tucked away.
There's a certain kind of man that wears it, and generally speaking, you know, it's a classically very well cut gay man, surely.
Yes, I haven't met them to discuss.
And
it, but I
think
come September,
it'll be the cast of the Footy Show as well, probably getting out in it.
Yes,
it'll
Sam
happen.
Sam Newman for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we've all been wondering which way, you know.
He dresses.
He's, yeah.
It's
been
the
question
right
on everyone's
years.
Lips for a very long time.
I'm uncomfortable with where this is going.
No,
so to answer Joe's question about the colostomy bags.
Yes.
It's a bit weird.
I love the fact that it's accepting all manner of things that might go wrong with your body.
Yep.
I suppose.
And it is a conversation starter, as we've demonstrated.
Mm.
It's demystifying something that we quite often do shy away from, isn't it? It's accepting that, you know what, not everyone's got the whole bowel thing working for them. And this is a medically legitimate solution. This is how we solve it for them.
Mm.
And in essence, it's nothing to be ashamed of. They're not...
not at all.
It's not a photograph how-to of this is how I remove my colostomy bag and then put a new one on. It's just, this is me and my swimwear with a colostomy job.
But I just think if we're accepting this, we have to accept all other freaks of nature, including whatever the hell is going on with... the ugly parts on our body. Like my hairy back. And my cellulite.
I was just going to ask how we got to ugly
like
parts.
Like 93% of what I've got going on.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Stand in line, brother. There's all sorts of things happening here. Kate, if you were in a position where maybe you didn't even have as confronting a medical issue as a colostomy, would you, if a famous person with a similar affliction decided to be brave, take a photo, post it on the internet and say, oh, this is part of who I am.
I'm George Clooney and this is my fungal nail infection.
Would you stand with George Clooney and reveal to us your fungal nail infection?
Oh, absolutely.
# stand with George.
Yeah, I would. Yeah. I get on board. Anything that if I identified, I reckon I would. Because you just, that's what we all want to feel like, we're not alone in the world. So if you've got someone up there who's quite famous, you know, it's the same thing. Like, it's the same thing with, you know, like, you know, gay celebrities coming out, you know, it's the same thing. It's like, you know, we all kind of go, oh, okay, they're like me. We all want that.
What's the freakiest thing on your body?
The freakiest thing? I'm trying to think. I'm trying to think what it is. I've got a few,
you
I reckon.
You know exactly what it is and you're just trying to stall for time while you
I'm just trying to think. Like, I've got a gross toe, but just one. That's gross.
Gross in that it's longer, weirder, misformed.
No, the
got
nails,
a tiny face on it that shouts
nails
things at you.
Just gross.
What is it?
Like, it's just hardly there.
Oh.
It's just gross. It's like powder. It's just like powder.
Was it
just
always there, or did it?
I think I dropped a can of Pal on it when I was about 13, and it's just never been
never
the
recovered.
Same since, Joe.
Yeah.
So that's been an issue. But, like, that's probably the, like, grossest thing that's not kind of hidden in a crevice, you know? Mm. So.
Would you share your crevice with the world?
So that's what I think, though. Like,
crevice up.
Hey, guys, I've got hemorrhoids. And then, like, you're never going to get a photo of someone posing with their hemorrhoid that looks like that photo of that girl lying on the beach.
No, but you will get a television show that shows us in all of its glory what your hemorrhoids look like.
Embarrassing bodies.
Embarrassing bodies. Yeah.
You know, when I had my first colonoscopy, I had it because I had pulled on my appendix, right? Got the appendix out, and then they went, you didn't have appendicitis.
I feel like we're just a passenger now.
Sorry. But
I'm cool with it.
Yeah, brilliant.
So then after the colonoscopy, the doctor comes in to me, and trust me, I'm on the best drugs known to mankind. Like, these are the drugs that Michael Jackson took to go to sleep every night. No wonder he was addicted. Anyway, the doctor comes in and he hands me a photo of my colon and my bowel.
Awesome.
And I'm like, that's cool. And I put it online and people were outraged, like, oh, too much.
Were they really?
And I'm like, you can't even see what it is.
It's a souvenir.
Like a strange kind of
drawy thing.
No, it was like a, you know, it just looked like, I don't know, a tube of some kind. If I hadn't said what it was, no one would know.
No,
they would have just said that's a tube of some kind.
Yeah, but because it was connected to the poo part.
But hang on, we all have them. Even the people that they don't work well on, we all have them.
I know. But
I find if I say anything gross about bodily functions on social media, I get like, you know, I get people sending me messages saying that's not very nice that you've said that, and that's, you know, just I find that people find it harder to take from a lady sometimes saying.
I think that's what it was.
Yeah,
I think that people are
sometimes.
Just
gain followers talking about my poop shoot.
I don't know what to say to that.
It's not really required that you say anything. But I haven't tweeted a photo like Joe has. I do love that they give you a photo though, like you've just gotten off the roller coaster at Dreamworld.
Because you know what that is. It's kind of like proof of life, right? It's affirming for Joe that, hey, while you were knocked out, we didn't take advantage of you.
Oh, yeah.
We actually had things up your rectum and we took some photos to prove we were there. It's like being on the moon.
We swear it's not weird.
No. I did ask how did they get the lighting in the makeup department up
there. Hey!
But anyway, they haven't done it since. So only the first time. Maybe since then I've been.
The novelty's worn off.
Nothing's changed.
I don't know.
No, now they're just Instagramming it straight out. Like when they take the photos, it's popping up on the hospital's Instagram account.
Yeah.
Embarrassing bodies is a crazy thing though, because don't.
Yes.
Like, you know, the people that go on, I'm like, why are you showing the world your labia? Like, why? Because they want to get it fixed, I suppose. But, you know, oh, doll.
Why are you showing us your negative penis?
No. I can kind of get it because in the UK, because their health system is so bad, so they just want a doctor's appointment. Like, I get that.
Yeah,
but
if
here,
it's national health. Everything over there is paid for by the government. Everything.
But they're bad. Isn't it dodgy over there?
There's long waiting lines
they're
because
crap.
Everything is free. And you can go down the private path and pay for it, and that's inevitably the dangle. If you'll let me put that out there, the producers offer to the hey, come and show us your labia because we can fix it, and we'll get it done by an expensive cosmetic surgeon, whereas otherwise you'd be going through 7 years of specialist appointments and all sorts of things before you even got close to this person.
Yeah,
and that's the same thing when they ran the Australian version. It was like, well, you could go through Well, not so much. You could go through the public system, at which point they'll tell you to wait or deal with it. Or we'll just get you in touch with a private doctor who will do it, and we foot the bill, and as long as we get to film all of it, thumbs up.
Man.
There's some crazy shit, right?
You say thumbs up, are you describing some of the treatments you've seen on embarrassing bodies?
That's how they diagnose them. Thumbs up.
Thumbs up.
You're
going to die.
They have bottom-focused shows. They have lady front focused shows.
But isn't it great in a way, though?
You know there are other words for those things, yes.
Colloquial vagina shows.
Yes. Isn't it great, though, that stuff is talked about such that hopefully if something went wrong with your lady front or bottom focus...
I stay up worrying about that every night. My lady front.
You wouldn't be too embarrassed to go to the doctor when you need to. Because don't you reckon we all, if something really embarrassing and bad happens to your nethers, we would leave it until you're close to death before you actually went and go, all right, okay, it's got to a point now where I can't zip my pants up.
Yeah, probably.
Go to the doctor.
It's lady fallen last off. Is there anything I can do about that?
That's it.
Wasn't there a lady last week who'd had a sex toy up for like 10 years or something?
Joe, this is what happens when you step out of breakfast radio.
I think
you
it miss might have been all eight, but it was a long things. Time. It was a very
I'm
long
just
time.
Like,
she went, and she, it wasn't that she knew it was there. It was that she went complaining of a pain or something was going on, and she had avoided going to the doctor, etc., etc. Went, ultrasound reveals, oh, hey, by the way, you've still got this sex toy inside you.
No, but hang on. She didn't know, or she did know?
She didn't, apparently.
Well...
She'd what? Forgotten that it hadn't come out.
I don't really think sex toy if at the time of use you leave it up there.
You don't even notice that it's there.
Like, did the battery go flat and somehow that's how she forgot?
You don't know how many children she's had.
I just I don't know how.
That makes that difference.
I thought your body expelled things.
No, so did I.
I don't think that's true.
I think it depends where in the body it winds
being
up.
Expelled from.
I just thought it would work its way out eventually. Was I'm it, saying it like I just thought it would. Like I'm not the woman. I'm not the woman. I didn't have. That wasn't me. But if,
oh, Kate, I love it when
like
you overshare.
None of us thought that it was until you said that.
No, I know. Just the way I was saying it. I'm going. Oh God, no, it sounds like me. But it's like it just seems extraordinary that she wouldn't know that you like.
No,
it's a kind of a nightmare, isn't it? Like you go, oh God. Like, it makes you think, doesn't it? Like, what?
There could be a sex toy inside.
What could be lost up there?
There could be something inside each and every one of us right now.
There could be.
Probably is.
It could have been, like, who knows what they were doing, those doctors, when they were doing their colonoscopy. Like, they could have put something else up there. You just never know, do you?
You think I've got a watch on my
mind? Let's hope for a watch. Watch is the best case scenario.
Listen, son, this is the best way. That's the right there. Imagine how frustrated that woman would have felt, though, to go to the doctor and to find out that, you know, there was a sex toy there and they took it out and it was like, but I was nearly there.
Oh,
Steve.
I had to go there.
Dan, what's the freakiest thing on your body?
Oh, what a question. I have pretty terrible skin just all around.
No, you don't.
No,
I get acne, so I take medication for it. The medication makes my skin really dry, and that's a whole weird cycle.
Acne's a horrible thing.
I probably look okay now because I'm on the medication.
And you've got some nice lighting behind you as
well.
Well,
you left me the best chair.
Yeah.
You are so relaxed right now.
Yeah.
I'm going to fall asleep in Malk's hotel room. Speaking of things being left inside other people while they're out.
And I don't mean this to raise it, just from what you said. My 9-year-old son, my eldest, had a pimple the other day. So he's not even close. I would have thought not even close to puberty.
No, I remember getting my first pimple when I was in grade 5.
I took great joy in squeezing it, don't get me wrong. Mm. But
weird.
Oh, no. It has to come out.
Sure.
Be gone, foul
like a
demon.
Tree
if it's
that has...
white, you have to squeeze it.
Yeah, sure.
It had to go. Yeah.
You can't leave a white pimple.
No. And I had flashbacks when I was saying, just calm down, I'm just going to get it out. And how, no, it hurts, to the exact same relationship that my mother and I had.
Oh, yeah.
Mm. Where it was like, hold still, this is coming out. Mm.
My understanding is that they happen most frequently during puberty, but they can happen to anyone at any time, essentially.
Oh, God, I'm a long way from puberty and I still get them.
Yeah, copy that.
It shits me. I've got greying hair, not on my head, but elsewhere. And I
Your back?
wrinkles, hey?
Your back?
No, not my back. And pimples at the same time. How
yeah,
that
it's
work?
Bullshit. That's bullshit.
Is that a reflection right of society's diet upon us?
Well, that's what I'm like. Have you been feeding possibly your son too many chickens? Is that what it is? Don't hormonal they talk about that?
Hormonal, steroidal.
You know when you know how babies.
I've been cursed. I think that's the situation with me.
Here's the thing, Dan.
Yes,
the
woman sorry, in the forest.
Well, you're going to have a baby. I understand.
True.
How far away?
It'll be October the 19th, and we're recording this on August the something 4th. Or other. So it's yes, that's two so and a bit months.
Babies get these funny little pimples, right, on their nose.
Yes, little milk.
They call them milk what?
Milk something.
Anyway, you're supposed to just leave them, right? But they are essentially just whiteheads.
Yeah.
Sure.
And I did squeeze my tooth. And a maternal health nurse said to me, what's the nose is
all bleedy.
You've been squeezing that. No. If I was going to admit to that, because the general nurses are terrifying. You're not supposed to squeeze.
Is she wearing makeup?
He waxed her eyebrows. That's right.
Why is your son dressed like a girl?
Yes. That must be very hard, though, like having bad acne, I think.
Yes, I don't want to paint a picture where, like, I'm constantly covered in it to the point where I'm, like, you know, paralysed. I can't get out of bed. There are people who have it worse than me, and... But yeah, it's annoying. It's annoying that it won't go away without some pretty hardcore medication. Mm. But I'm not going to take photos of it and post it on the internet and be like, hashtag Stan with Dan.
Right. Hey, Dan, you'd be setting a brave new precedent for some people.
Nah, there's
you'd
photos
be allowing
of people
them
on
to
the internet.
Own themselves. There's some disgusting...
people on the internet.
Don't go YouTubing. Do not go looking on YouTube and looking up squeezing zits or pimples.
15-year-old blokehead.
Nope.
Because you're finding... it's sebaceous cysts is what they're squeezing out. They're not actually pimples, but they are the most disgusting revelations of life.
Mm. You don't have to worry about me doing that.
No.
It's not going to happen.
I fell down that hole one day.
You say that... And up until you said it, I never thought about doing it.
Now it's all you
but
want to
But now you've
do.
Said it, it's like, oh.
I
want to
hear
it.
From
it's
you
like,
when you do it because it's just the you will not help yourself. You'll just look at one and go, that can't be real.
I don't think I want to do it.
You'll never unsee it.
No.
It's
like I've avoided some things in my time on the internet. I haven't seen Two Girls, One Cup.
No,
I have
either.
No intention of seeing it. I don't want to see it. I know that it's quite confronting. Mm. I... don't want to see it.
No.
I've seen some horrible things in real life happen to people that I know and love, and that I don't want to have seen them and I've seen them. Let alone two women who choose to do whatever to each other on the internet. That's not
unnecessary.
I'm not down with that.
No. It's so unnecessary.
I think this is a thing. I think in its truest essence, it's a good thing. You know, people,
colostomy bag pictures.
Yeah, hotties with colostomy.
Hotties with colostomy. Hotostomy. Let's call them that.
A cold hotostomy. I think that's cool, but only if it's from that point of view. No, I'm going to own this, and I'm going to.
Yeah, it's
we
fine.
We take all comers. We accept everybody.
Here
the
is me in one form,
people.
Looking like a model in a professional photo, and then here is another aspect that completely changes that.
Yeah, yeah. Normally we would Photoshop this out.
Yeah,
but today, no. So I think that's a thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. No, I would call that a thing. Yeah. Yep.
Dan, would you like to hit us up a thing?
A thing. Okay. Well, I am here at the Think Committee.
How convenient.
Yes. It's more trivial compared to yours. I've been... Yeah, I know. I'm so sorry. I've been thinking about what people like to term the sort of quality television revolution or the post-HBO Sopranos golden age of television thing.
Yes.
And people like to speak about that as if it's an undisputed fact. Like, yes, television just got better 15 years ago. Mm. I don't think it's a thing. I think those people are a little bit bullshitting themselves.
Well,
forgetting
that there
were other things ahead of it.
Or that the way we consume television and what we look for in television has changed, but that doesn't make it definitively better.
No, but how old are you, Dolph?
31.
Right. I'm a little older than that. I shan't tell you how much
33. Older. Let's be fair, Stanley. Come on.
But
31 and a half.
My teen years, I wasn't able to watch things like Girls. Or Sex and the City.
Sure.
Didn't exist. I was stuck with...
Melrose, 90210.
Not even that.
Models,
that
Inc.
Rugrats.
Like before Melrose, 19 years. What do I have?
Wonder Years?
Yeah, maybe Wonder Years. Neighbours.
The Waltons?
Yeah, I'm trying to think what I taped.
The Littlest Hobo.
And watched because...
No, I don't know what that is.
It's a German shepherd that goes around towns and solves problems.
Yeah, no, I don't know what...
It's an educational lesson.
My point is, they're just, you know, I can't remember before 6 Feet Under shows being that good.
Sure. And I might be wrong. We're all products of our experiences and what we've been exposed to, but I feel like there's this great emphasis placed on television shows being more serialized and being more complex and everything should be like The Wire, which was great, which was amazing. Yeah. But I think it's equally valid to have a show that is just a really solid cop show.
Yep.
Sure.
That tells a story beginning, middle, end every week that goes for an hour and you don't have to have watched 3 seasons, you know, binge watch them on DVD to catch up with it so you can talk about it with all your friends.
You'd like Southland.
Sure. Haven't seen it. I'll make a note.
It to you in that context.
So I think that people now think of that kind of TV as being, oh, that's old fashioned. We don't watch Law and Order anymore. They always catch the guy by the end.
Yeah.
You know, the character's always the same week after week. That's really difficult to write that.
Mm.
To keep coming up with ways of making that fresh. Like, a lot of skill goes into that.
What's some of your earliest connections with television, movies, media, stuff that you look back and go, you know what, that was really good. That helped change my expectation on stuff.
I think the show that had the biggest impact on me as a teenager was Brides of Christ.
Wow,
that was
nice.
Like, and I remember, like, you know, we had some neighbours down the street who lent us the tapes and watching that. And it made me, and it had nothing to do with acting or anything like that. It made me, there was this character in it. Well, all of the characters really set an example to me. Like, and I remember the character that, Naomi Watts' character, and she played this, a character called Frances, and she wanted to study journalism, and she was a bit of a shit stirrer, but she was really hardworking, and she had a personality, but she wasn't a good girl. She was, you know, she stood up for herself, but she was a really good student.
Yep.
And I remember watching that at the time, and I was probably like 15, which is a pretty, to see a character like that on screen was a pretty good example to set to a 15-year-old girl who's at school and going, you can be smart and you can be funny and you can be, you know, you can be a little bit naughty and still, you know, tick all these boxes. So I remember that having a massive impact on me. And that's like one of those series that I'd, you know, the only TV series I can remember taping and, you know, whereas Around the Twist was the other one. Mm-hmm. That's the, you know, that we had copies of that at home.
Loved Around the Twist.
Yeah, like that first series was fantastic. And so they were sort of two massive kind of shows that had a big influence on me, I think. Or, you know, I could watch over and over. But I was obsessed with, when I was a kid, like people talk about watching movies and stuff. Like I never watched Star Wars or The Dark Crystal or Gremlins or any of that sort of stuff.
Have you seen them since?
I've seen a couple of Star Wars films, but I was completely obsessed with Australian miniseries when I was a kid.
Oh my God, Bangkok Hilton.
Yeah, and like All the Rivers Run and the Shirley.
Oh my goodness.
And like what other ones? Like Man from Snowy River, yeah, like all of that stuff. I was completely obsessed with it all.
But Bangkok Hilton had such a profound effect on me in that, firstly, I was convinced any time I'd travel, some hot guy would swap suitcases with me and I'd end up in prison having been found guilty of smuggling drugs. And the way, I'll never forget the way the chick that was Nicole Kidman's
is it
friend.
Joy Smithers, is that the name of that actress? I know what you're going to say, I think.
I don't remember the
name
of the actress.
I think that's the character. The lady, sorry.
Yeah,
the way
but
she...
But I'll just never forget how she gave hand jobs in prison for clean water. And I thought, oh, then I'd be all right.
Oh, see, I don't remember that.
I've got this shit on lock.
I've got something.
I need to train.
I don't need to use that hand for anything else. I can do that.
See, I don't remember I don't remember that bit, but I remember her weeing herself when they went to shoot her. Yeah.
And that, that was another thing where she was facing the firing squad. And then she wet herself and I thought, oh, no. Like, that was the worst thing about it.
And let's be fair.
That's really going to get sticky.
Yeah.
Oh, just so embarrassing not only to be shot, but now she's worse off in front of everybody.
But that's only what's going to happen after they shoot her anyway.
No, I know, but I was an idiot because I was young and concerned with, you know, not embarrassing.
What, that they yeah. missed, they someone missed and shot her in the colostomy? What, I don't care.
No, it's just, you know, I was just... I was a very young person and somehow was concerned with image so much.
Yes.
Yeah.
Anyway. I'm not proud of it.
See, I must have been pretty young when I remember seeing that. It probably wasn't that really appropriate viewing for a child.
When, all the rivers I watched run, all that stuff. Fine. Bangkok Hilton, not so much.
Mum and Dad didn't care.
It would be like me showing my 7-year-old daughter the travesty that was the Chappelle Corby telly movie.
I watched the first.
So
you want to have a little bit of quality control.
Yeah, amen, sister. Yeah. Like, let's show something decent by comparison. Yeah. Yes.
But largely because it's bad television or because of the content?
Both.
Right.
First of all, see that? She's got a tramp stamp. Don't be like that. Secondly, don't take a bodyboard bag of marijuana to Bali. That's a bad idea. Thirdly, don't then flip out in the courtroom and smack yourself on the head with the palm of your hand.
I'm writing all these things down because this is fresh to me.
I remember because I was in radio, I was doing breakfast radio when that whole happened.
Yes.
And I remember rushing home from work to the live telecast of the verdict being handed down and sitting in my crappy house actually crying because I believed so strongly she was innocent.
Do you still believe that?
No.
What changed your mind?
Years and years of watching her family.
Yeah.
But I, who knows? Mm. She's been convicted of it, but who knows what the real story is behind there and what the real story behind that family is. But did I just cover myself legally?
Pretty much. Yeah.
Okay. But yeah, I've become less concerned about her innocence than that day. But the hysteria surrounding that was insane.
It was massive.
Yeah.
The smartest thing that her then legal team did was try and put out into the press the suggestion that she got landed with this completely unawares to her. That it was something that happened in the baggage handling situation and that she was an unaware courier, that it was meant to then be... Yeah, that she was then... It was meant to be taken out before she picked up her bodyboard in Bali. And transaction complete, it just got shipped. But that it got missed that day and that's why it all... Like, that was the best thing her then... Because they then got dumped, but that her then legal team did was because it started to throw out this seed of complete fear and irrationality that then the rest of the populace went, I now have to wrap everything I said internationally in plastic.
The cling film, my God.
I remember going to the airport when people were doing that and not doing it and being like...
that they could then rewrap your bag with.
The queues were like mad for initially.
Wrapping, yeah.
Someone made some sweet coin out of that hysteria, didn't they?
Mm. And still do. People still wrap their bags.
Oh, yeah.
It's crazy.
I don't even lock mine. I'm just like, oh, whatever. It's bullshit.
The best thing that a TSA...
Such a rebel.
Yeah, good work.
I'll fucking suck up, though, however many years in Kerabokan.
Yeah, I do it all rectally anyway. The best thing that a TSA officer told me was that even, like, buying the locks, because in America they're all big about TSA locks, we've got keys, we can open them, all of that sort of thing. He said, you could spend hundreds and hundreds of dollars on these things. Just put a zip tie on it. If we want to open it, we'll open it, we'll cut it off, and you'll know that we opened it. At that point, before you accept it, you can then call over another officer and say, I don't want to take this bag, or this is my bag, however, I can see that it's been tampered with since I last had it. Can you please open it, acknowledging what I've just said, so that if anything is found untoward in it, it's not mine. Right?
That's good.
Totally freaking me out.
Zip ties, super cheap.
Doesn't cost a whole bunch. That's exactly right.
You can buy a bag of like 100 of them for $2.80 a day, so...
This podcast is proudly brought to you by whatever that place is.
That is a thing. It's a real thing.
Daiso.
Yeah.
Or Daiso.
Yeah. $2.80, $100.
$2.80, everything in the store.
Really?
I'm not saying that's a good or a bad thing, but it's a thing and it exists. You can get a dog toy and like a ceramic bowl.
For under $6.
Bag of zip ties.
$9. Look at how we're changing lives now. Yeah. Did we solve your thing?
I think we all just kind of agreed to disagree.
Well, I do think that great television existed.
Great television has always existed.
You know, I was obsessed with Carson's Law, which was an Australian mm-hmm. drama.
Which is a drama that could quite easily be remade because it's a period drama.
Yeah, I loved that.
They could do it again now and go, here's Carson's Law, the new thing.
And because of that, I wanted to be a lawyer. And then when I was a teenager, well, clearly I didn't make it. And then when I was a teenager, I was obsessed with LA Law.
Oh, Harry Hamlin.
So hot.
Corbin Burnson.
So hot.
See, there's your that's your precursor to Models, Inc. That was the drama that you connected with.
Yeah. Well, Melrose Place.
Yeah.
Mm. Kim was crazy.
Shave, took a wig off, man.
Mm.
All sorts of ludicrous chick.
Yeah.
Sorry.
What television was formative for you, Dan?
Formative for me?
Yeah.
I was a big, comedy guy as a kid, so I would just watch, old sitcoms over and over.
Mm.
Like, we had, you know, pay TV in the house. There was always just, an old Cheers or something on.
Yeah, nice. Right.
Were you a Sherwood Schwartz kind of sitcom, you know, funny with a moral kind of deal?
Yeah. Down with that.
You couldn't get better. I mean, we all remember the first time we watched Seinfeld.
Yes.
What the fuck is this genius?
Mm. Still great to this day.
I got in trouble on the weekend because I'm one of those people.
Oh, dear.
Who, I know. I'm making enemies every time I say this. But I'm not into it. I'm not into Seinfeld and I'm not into The Simpsons.
Right, this is over.
And I know this is the reaction that I got from my friend. And he was just – and he's like, but you're – you're a comedy writer. Like, how can you not like those? I said, it's not that I don't appreciate them. And he was like, you need to study them. If you know, you want to be a writer, you need to, they're like the classics. And I was like, you know, I get the structure of the episodes and I understand. I just, there's something really, I can't deal with the not developing from episode to episode. There's something that unsettles
that is
me
one
about
of the
that.
One rules of sitcom writing.
Yeah, I know.
Stay
this
in
is
the same
I don't
place the entire
yeah.
time.
I don't like it.
That's
it makes
fine.
Me feel
it's
uncomfortable.
Friends completely broke.
Yes.
They
yeah.
did grow and develop.
Yeah.
And
Friends was kind of a soap opera.
Yeah.
Yeah, in the guise of a comedy. Mm.
Yes. I think that's a thing that's not a thing. People thinking that there are things you just have to like or appreciate.
Yeah, God,
what
no.
do you mean you don't like Seinfeld? I don't like it. It's not my cup of tea. Who gives a shit?
Yeah. Like, I feel like I get the same responses when I say I haven't seen Star Wars. That's the same. What? What? But more so, I get judged more because I'm a comedy writer. They're like, oh, how, you don't like that? Well, pfft.
Is there comedy that you watch and like? Stuff that you find has been really enjoyable?
Yeah. Right. Like Veep. For example, or something that I'm watching now, I just think that's one of the best shows on TV.
I just recently finished the second season and it's great.
It's brilliant.
So good.
And that, yeah, like there's definitely, like there's stuff that blows me away. Like I've just, Broad City, have you all seen that? Like it's just excellent. And not even so much the writing, like that's just in the performance with Broad City. But, you know, there's stuff that I watch all the time that I'm completely inspired by, but just not. Seinfeld.
I think you've nailed it though, Dan, is that we live in a world of absolutes nowadays where there's no, particularly in social media, there's no room for nuance. It has to be you fucking love it or you're a fucking pariah.
Yes, and I get weird looks when I say that I think Game of Thrones is good, not great, or I think it's slightly overrated.
Okay, well, you're in the wrong medium, first of all, to even say that, because the response will be, are you mentally insane?
It's the greatest show ever,
yeah.
Apparently.
That's fine. That the internet will say that too.
Well,
yes.
I would tell you I hate it.
There you go.
So, and, you know, people do look at me like I'm deranged when I say
that's why you don't get invites to weddings.
Perfectly acceptable opinion.
I just don't like blood.
Yeah.
I don't like people being disemboweled in
so
front of me.
So, no True Blood.
I hated True Blood.
Yeah. No Game of Thrones, as you mentioned. No Dexter.
I hated Dexter.
Yeah.
The common theme is blood, I think.
Yep.
No Walking Dead, I'd imagine.
Yeah, I hated that. I don't like zombies.
Let the blood run free, none of
Let
that.
Let the blood run free.
Zombies are too mucusy for me.
Okay.
They all seem to have a...
adenoidal problems.
Yeah, or they're lactose intolerant. I don't know, but they seem really... they just seem really mucusy. I don't like it.
Yeah, and the fact that they're the undead.
Well, that's not great.
It's not going to help with the whole...
There's that.
You can't give them sort of, you know, antibiotics and expect that to fix it.
It's a bit of a con if we're making a pros and cons list.
Yeah.
They're the undead and they want to kill and eat me.
Yeah, it's a downer.
It's a con.
My husband's obsessed with zombies to the point where he has an escape plan.
I know people with escape plans.
Yeah, it's not an uncommon thing.
A friend once quizzed me on what I would do in the event of a zombie apocalypse and then got actually angry at me that I didn't have a plan.
Yeah.
He was disappointed.
Because I think there are small sections of society that believe it could happen.
Mm. Like, it's even smaller than believe it will happen.
My husband, he's like, all it takes is a little mutant virus. I'm like, what?
Patient
for people
zero.
To come from the dead.
Patient zero, Joe.
All it takes. It's all it takes.
It's all it takes.
One little suspension of disbelief is all it takes.
So did you come up with an escape plan then?
No, I think I just told him to go away.
You're about to have an escape plan.
I'm going to leap out this hotel window.
In 2.5 months' time. Your escape plan is throw the baby at them and run the
that
other way.
That doesn't work.
There's so little meat on those bones.
A baby's not going to keep a marauding mob.
It will stop them
zombies.
Long enough for you to get behind
it's a distraction,
that door
is what you're
or into that
no.
car. An escape plan is not the solution. It is the method for you getting
Where
away.
Are you getting this tactic from? This just sounds like you're getting this from like Italian gypsies on a train here. It's like throw the baby, throw
Give
the baby.
Give the baby and run.
A key element of my husband's escape plan is chainmail.
Chainmail?
Of course.
Right. Wow. Okay.
Like sharks, they can't bite through it.
This is his theory. I'm like, where do you get chainmail? And doesn't that limit your ability to run?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. The escape part is a little, it's more of a just lie down and let them peck at you. For ages.
Until they run out of energy.
Yeah.
And you can get up and walk away, which is never.
No, so, yeah. By that said, you'll be bruised. You'll just be, they'll just bash you.
On my side, it's not going to happen. So, you know, we're not buying hate mail. We're not buying chain mail. Hate mail.
That's what I was going to say.
For free.
Hate
mail. You wait until that box appears from eBay. Then you know that he's taking this seriously.
It will happen. It will happen.
Kate, have you got anything you'd like us to thing out for you?
Oh, look, my thing is, I say it flippantly. Mm. But even though it's probably quite a big thing, but like, so I'm looking at houses at the moment to buy and I'm like, the stress involved, I'm is this idea of the Australian dream, right? Is it worth it?
No.
Like, is this worth it, what I'm going through right now?
No. I say this because I have a very nice house and a very large mortgage. And I sometimes think to myself, what if I didn't have that house and that mortgage? I would have so much less stress.
Imagine what you could do with all that money.
It's,
well, you know, I'd have to put some of it into rent because, you know, I need to live somewhere.
Who said pay the house off, no rent?
What do you mean?
If you remove the mortgage component from your life,
yes,
i.e. somehow miraculously you're able to pay it off.
Oh, well, hence I buy Tats Lotto tickets, yes, but that's not going to happen unless... You know.
Or get another breakfast radio job. I mean, potato, potato.
That's not on the cards either because I plan never, ever to do that again.
As we learned from Bangkok, Hilton, system. Hand jobs pay pretty well.
If you want to sell the water that you get.
See my banker and give him a hand job.
Do you all own houses? Do you live in houses that you own?
Yes.
So, well, no, I own a debt. The bank owns a house.
Yeah. House.
So that day when, because I guess I've got this vision, like if we bought somewhere, it would be like, you know, sold to the lovely couple over here. And then we're like, yeah.
So happy.
And then we walk in and it's just like, oh, look at this. This is all ours. And have this really, did you have that moment where you went, oh, this is, we can bang shit into the walls.
My experience with the first house we bought was you go, oh, how excited. Like, you really are excited. And then you walk in and you realise that you've spent more time trying on a pair of shoes than the house that you spent every cent that you own on. So that's alarming. And then the debt starts to kind of sink in. That becomes alarming. And then you start to notice shit things with the house.
It's gone. Yeah, that's
like
what I'm worried about.
Wow, this bedroom is so much smaller than I remember. And, you know, but there are amazing things about it too. Yes, you can hang your own pictures.
We can get a dog.
You can get a dog.
That's well, yeah.
You can get a dog in a picture and hang it in your house.
You can hang a dog.
You could.
Nobody will stop you. It's your house.
I mean, most people talk about swinging a cat, but let's hang a dog.
You could do that too.
Invite everyone round for a dog hanging.
For the traditional dog hanging to christen the place.
You frame your newborn.
Your parents will probably insist.
Yeah.
It's tradition.
We designed slash built the house that we live in, that we have a mortgage for. So it's a little more of the... It's what you've got on acid. You know, it's like...
Oh, I've renovated too.
This is
we sat down with an architect and said, here, boxes and this, and my wife was right across it. Like, I went this, and because she said, we've got these pieces of furniture and they're this big, so we want them to be here. And I just went, yep, just make sure there's a bit for me. Mm-hmm. And so we have the house, and the outcome is that everything has its place, because that's the kind of woman that my lovely wife is. Mm-hmm. But then there's also the, next time we should do this.
So are you bored already? You want another house? No. Is that what
but
you
just
mean?
Just acknowledging that, this didn't quite work.
But you can never make it perfect.
You can try.
But do you get sick of it?
My wife did try.
But the life is never perfect.
No, there's other people get in the way and ruin it. That's what goes wrong. Builders ruin it.
But I think it's a lovely thing to share with your partner. And again, another reason to try harder to make the relationship work, which is a good thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, at the times when that person does something that you hate them. You hate them.
You know that hole that you've just made in the wall from throwing the pot at it, there's no landlord's going to get on your case about that. However, calling, dial a fix-it hubby the next day is a little bit embarrassing. How did that hole? Just fix it. Shut up.
I like what Joe's kind of saying, though, that it would make you less inclined to go, well, I'm packing a box and I'm moving back to mum and dad's.
It does. So, well, it has for me. And that's a good thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think in...
It's...
Sorry, go on.
No, you go, Dan.
I was going to say, sort of getting back to your question and kind of the root of it, you're saying that there is this ideal Australian dream. There's this picture of growing up where you... move out of your parents' place and you maybe rent for a little while and you meet someone and then you buy a house and eventually you pay it off and you retire. And that's life, and that's how life goes. And these days there's less emphasis on any one specific aspect of that. So buying a house is an option but not necessarily the end goal. So I think it's less of a thing in that there's less importance placed upon it. There's a whole generation of people who just rent.
Yeah, and there's lots of countries around the world where everybody rents. You know, that's just the way, and everybody lives in apartments. And
yes.
But it's like we are very much, and I grew up in the country and then in suburban Geelong, and it's like we had backyards, we had lawnmowers. And that's just kind of
that's
just the way it is. That's
the
life. And like I think I've avoided that for so long, and now I'm nearly 35 and going, well. It's suddenly become this thing that I go, well, I guess it's a priority now. And I don't know why. I don't know if I was always tumbling towards this
towards freedom. It is a fact that if you have a mortgage, the money you pay on it as opposed to the money you pay on a rent technically should come back to you.
Yes.
So that's why people, as they get older and grow up and realise, well, hang on a minute. I'm not always going to be able to spend my money on beer and cigarettes.
Yeah.
And taxis. Then, you start to go, oh, I better be a bit wiser with my money.
Yeah.
So that is a fact.
And if you've got kids and stuff, you start thinking, that biggest,
well, the other
bigger
thing
picture.
Is you don't want always to have the threat over your head that a landlord might say, okay, I'm selling the house, you've got to move.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That sucks.
If you've got kids, you want to be able to know that you're going to, you can stay.
You want stability
as
and security.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm okay for falling into this trap, do you think? That's okay, all right.
Think of it as a form of saving.
That's how
yes.
I look at it.
Okay.
Because it is an asset.
Yes.
You're not just throwing money at something that will never come back to you. You're setting aside a certain amount of money every week, and it's going into this asset that is worth that amount of money or more, you hope. So you are essentially just saving a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would like to underscore this conversation by saying that the Thing Committee is not a financial planning organisation. And as such, nothing that we've said is necessarily going to help you in your life. Please seek the help of an approved and authorised financial institution with regard to any advice you would want around your savings and income protection.
Well, I'm not doing any of that. I've heard what I need to hear.
Also, that all is prefaced with the hope that we don't end up in some horrific GFC scenario like the States, where suddenly houses were worth so much
Yeah, yeah, that people just walked away from.
You know, they just had to foreclose on whatever they had and just go, uh-oh, I'm living in a caravan.
There's risks with any situation. Yeah, yeah.
But the catch is that in the US scenario, that became exacerbated and was somewhat allowed to happen because it's like no fault of the person who has the loan. You can get up, walk away from your mortgage and go, can't afford it, see you later.
Yeah.
And the bank have to deal with that. And then you can go to the next bank and get a loan for your next place, scot-free.
Where can I do that?
So the bank that you left has this house that you maybe got a loan for $500,000 for.
Mm-hmm.
With plummeting house values, it's now only worth $200,000. You'd weigh it up and go, nah, can't do it, see ya. Go over here, get $200,000, buy a different house, and you've got at least the same kind of life going on over there. The old bank's left with not just yours, but 600 or 700 other properties in the same position that no one wanted to buy.
Mm. Oh, it wasn't good.
Oh, subprime mortgage, horridness.
We're all agreed. The GFC, bad.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
We're solving big problems.
I'll keep that
here.
In mind.
And maybe, Kate, we're all just trying to justify to ourselves our terrifying decision making.
It's like
crippling debts.
It's weird that, like, I've been to, you know, the open for inspections where you only get 15 minutes to wander around, and I find myself now, like, I went to go to one the other day and I started putting on makeup and, like, I'm going to an open for inspection for a rental property. Like, I'm trying to look like an impressive, upstanding member. Yeah. And then I just went, oh, fuck it.
Whatever.
I don't care.
Yeah.
And I just went in my trackies. I was like, whatever. Yeah.
You're paying money. She's happy. I got my rocks off. It's all good.
You do get competitive with the other people looking around, though. You just,
auctions would be a nightmare. I never want to subject myself to
that. I participated in one. It was horrible. I never want to do it again.
You want to feel good about yourself, Kate? Go to a block open for inspection and walk through those multi-million dollar places that they've turned out of shit.
Mm.
And then, if you're so inclined, watch then the final auction when it goes on telly and just be amazed at how easily people are throwing $2 million.
Even though we've spent 12 weeks watching them cut corners and be terrible at this.
It's ludicrous.
How does that make me feel good about myself?
Just know that you will find what you want for $400,000, $500,000, $600,000, $700,000 and not have to spend $2.9 million.
Not have to,
an inner city two-story loft style apartment.
Yeah.
They're very small. They're often very small.
Yes.
Whenever I go to the block, I go in and I'm like, oh, gee, they look bigger on the telly, don't they? Just tiny rooms and, you know, and they spend a lot of money on them.
A lot of money.
Like $2 million.
It's fine to say that you started out with a budget of $100,000 for this renovation, but the end result is, given all of the services and things you got for free and everything else, you have probably spent $1.5 million on turning this shithole into saleable material.
And it comes with the furniture. That's what I always
It comes with
myself.
All of the things.
Yeah.
Does it?
So, yeah, every single thing in there.
Because they were part of making it
so
look
good. So what about when they sell it, though?
Skankily for 12 weeks.
Yeah, gross. You get a new mattress.
Well,
you've just spent $2 million on an apartment. You could probably afford a mattress.
If I spent $2 million on an apartment, I have zero coins to even think about rubbing
together. You shouldn't
have
spent $2 million on an apartment if you can't afford a mattress.
That's a good point.
The mattress came with the house.
Some people might be into that mattress. You never know.
Yeah. Buying these rich idiots buying these apartments. Rich Sorry, idiots. You didn't buy one, did you? You just gave me the most horrible look.
Hey, I'm an idiot, but I'm not a rich idiot.
Well, this is a nice hotel room.
Kate, congratulations on your dream to buy your slice of Australia.
Yeah, so it is a thing, and I'm okay for believing in the thing.
Yeah.
Not as much of a thing as it used to be, and if you do another thing, that's fine, I think.
There are lots of ways to secure your financial future.
Mm.
Property ownership is but one of them.
Mm.
There are people who will rent their entire lives, and it's fine. They figure it out.
Yeah.
I
just never thought I'd be one of those people that would be buying a house. But, you know, who knows? You know,
Red
there's lots
tip,
of things I didn't think I'd be doing.
Television networks.
No.
Media.
I've learnt that lesson.
Last time you bought a television network,
it did not go well.
No, last time Kate took options instead of a salary to work on a television show.
Yeah.
3 episodes is not enough.
No, enough about Comedy Channel.
Kate McLennan, where can people find you?
I'm on Twitter.
Yes.
So I'm on Twitter at Kate McLennan, and I'm one. Kate McLennan one.
Was there another campaign?
Yeah, there's another one.
What
She's a preacher.
Ooh.
She's a ukulele playing preacher from United States. She's lovely though. Check her out.
Good
and
luck.
Yeah, and what else? I've got a web series that you can watch. It's called Bleak, and that's on YouTube. If you go to Lead Balloon TV, and you can watch it there.
It's very funny. I endorse that TV series.
Oh, thanks, thanks. So that's that's where people can find me.
Fine work.
Yeah.
Excellent.
I thought you said you were telling me to find work then. I'm like, I'm trying,
if you're
Steve,
gonna buy
I'm
a
trying.
House.
No, I endorse your work as
being fine. Stop doing web series, Kate.
That's right. Look, it's a new digital media sort of environment, but that doesn't pay.
Doesn't pay the mortgage.
Joe Stanley, are you in a web media series or have you got some other thing going on?
No, I've considered it. And as I have a part-time job, a weekend job. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can find me on Weekend Breakfast around the country on the Today Network.
Telling it how it is.
Yeah, well, it's great fun, and it's only 7 till 9 instead of 6 till 9, so we get to sleep in on the weekends.
Yeah.
So that's awesome, and you can check me out at Real Joe Stanley.
Mm-hmm.
That's my Twitter and my Facebook and my Instagram.
And any random clip show that appears on television, inevitably you get involved?
I do seem to be, for the last 10 years, guest on the end of the panel.
Mm.
Generally, they like to put me on the left end, so I'm wondering if that's maybe my best side, but that's where on the panel I was on the right, and now on the project I'm on the left end, so I don't know.
You've got two good sides, Joe.
Yeah. That's what it is. Yeah.
Completely photogenic.
Just don't go around the back.
No. Do not go around the back, my friend. And you can check out all my writing and whatever else I do, probably including this. I might chuck a little link up on my Facebook, which is joestanley.com.au.
I feel honored.
Of course.
It's lovely.
Yeah.
Thank you, Joe.
Thank you.
Kate.
Thank you, Steve.
Dan,
hi.
Where can people find you on the internet?
Twitter is probably the best way, at Daniel John Hall.
You also do some excellent writing for Flack News.
Yes, and sometimes for your website.
Yeah, I need to fix that.
Not
too.
For a while, but
needs to happen.
We'll talk about it off mic.
Well, this is awkward, isn't it?
Oh, no, it's just representing that I'm a complete slack ass.
That's fine. And I am writing for a TV show, but it won't exist for a couple of years because it's animation. It takes ages, so don't worry about it.
But you're right.
If you follow me on Twitter, you'll learn about it eventually.
That's a good thing.
Yes.
Daniel John Hall.
Daniel John Hall. All spelled how you'd expect it to be spelled.
Right.
Yes.
Great. Well, this is the Thing Committee. I've been Steve Mogg.
Thanks.
These have been the guests, all of them. I endorse them and encourage you to follow them and enjoy their work, people. They do good things.
Thanks. It's been
Shut
lovely.
Up and stop being so awkward.
It's been lovely to be thingy with you.
Hey.
Love a good thing.
As thingos, you do all right.
Thingos, is that the thing? Thingos?
I think you're all called thingos.
I like it.
We're going to wrap this up because I've got to change my colostomy bag now, so.
You have just heard an unpopular podcast. Find more unpopular podcasts at unpopular.com.au.